If you would open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 37. We're going to begin today with verse 21, and we'll be going down to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 37, 21 through 38. And I think I said a couple weeks ago, this will be the end of our present little journey through Isaiah, where we're going to be taking a break and going to 1 John next week, but have no fear, we'll pick up with Hezekiah when we come back, but a little different problem and different context of the Babylonian crisis when we come back to Isaiah, but we still have Assyrians in the land and we need to deal with that today. So Isaiah 37, beginning there in verse 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises and mocks you. The daughter of Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it you have insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have heaped insults on the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I've cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest of its pines. I've reached its remotest heights, the finest of its forest. I've dug wells in foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet, I've dried up all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago, I ordained it. In days of old, I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stone. Their people drained of power are dismayed and put to shame. They are like plants in the field, like tender green shoots, like grass sprouting on the roof, scorched before it grows up. But I know where you stay and when you come and go, and how you rage against me. Because you rage against me and because your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. And I will make you return by the way you came. This will be a sign for you, O Hezekiah. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Shariezer cut him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat, and Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use the word now to teach your people, to draw us closer to you, to edify us, build us up in most holy faith. Use your word to call sinners to yourself. Lord, take the words of the preacher, halting words, words without power, words of men, and use them by the power of your Holy Spirit to become words of power, words that will change hearts and minds and lives and eternal destinies. Use them for your own glory, we pray, through the power of your Spirit. Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice this day, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All through the Old Testament, and in our prophet Isaiah in particular, there's a record of many events across the centuries where God's holiness has been displayed against those who are arrogant and unbelieving. David Wells said that his holiness, the holiness of God, in his holiness, he is not to be trifled with. It's a lesson Sennacherib would learn, albeit very painfully. Wells also said that the idea that God is dangerous in his holiness should not be dismissed as if it were some primitive idea beyond which we have evolved. This means that you should take note of Sennacherib and the result of his challenges to Almighty God, lest you should fall into the same trap. Now, Sennacherib had insulted and blasphemed the Lord God. He had exalted himself above God. He had accused God of deceiving his people. Isaiah had sent word to Hezekiah that the Lord was fully aware of the words of this pagan king, and that he was going to remove him from the land of Judah and from the land of the living. Hezekiah turned to the Lord in prayer, as we saw last week, praising God, acknowledging God's power, acknowledging God's holiness, his mercy. And he asked the Lord to deliver Judah from the hand of Sennacherib. And the answer came swiftly. Isaiah sent word to Hezekiah, "The Lord, the God of Israel, says, because you prayed to me about Sennacherib, here's what the Lord says. The virgin daughter, the daughter of Jerusalem, the virgin daughter of Zion, despises and mocks you, O Sennacherib, O mighty king. We mock you, we despise you, the people. Or the daughter, the virgin daughter belonging to Zion. Zion is the dwelling place of the Lord." These are his people. And Jerusalem's mocking of Sennacherib is a sign of faith. She knows God, but Sennacherib does not. Her boasting is, as Paul said, in the Lord. Paul says, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." They're boasting in the Lord. The Lord has promised to deliver them. And she mocks you, he says, as you flee, as you run away. Strange words for a mighty army that is surrounding the city of Jerusalem. But flee you will. You've been trifling with the Lord God Almighty. Just who do you think you've insulted? This is not one of the gods of the nations. This is not an idol of wood or stone that you've cast into the fire. This is something you've never experienced before. You're running headlong into the living God. With whom do you think you're dealing? Who do you think you're talking to that you spew forth these kind of insults, this blasphemy? You know, that is a very relevant question, I think, that everyone needs to consider, especially in this world in which we live. Think about the things you hear every day and the people who spew forth all kind of insults against the Lord God. it's a very relevant question. Sennacherib's contempt for God was very great, but he's not alone in that. Excuse me. Such contempt is grounded in ignorance. Ignorance of God, ignorance of his holiness, ignorance of his power, his infinite knowledge. James says, even the demons believe there is one God, and they tremble. Sennacherib did not know enough to tremble. He did not know enough to stand in fear before the Lord God Almighty. How many are there who are in that same boat? How many are in that same condition? To them, God is just a word, a meaningless construct bannered about by some religious people they know. But they do not know enough to be afraid. This kind of ignorance and arrogance can only lead to destruction. Sennacherib is headed there, and so are all those who live their lives in that same way, who exalt themselves against God, who have no regard for God and his holiness, their sinfulness before Almighty God. You know, Sennacherib's boasting, his arrogance, his ignorance are really so empty. He's wrong on so many levels. All of Sennacherib's, all of the Assyrian conquest were foreordained by God. God says, I know you've done all this, but I planned all this in advance. Sennacherib is just an instrument in the hand of God. He is no more than a hammer wielded by the hand of God to smash those who are opposed to God, to bring judgment, to fulfill the words spoken by the prophets of God. These events should not have been news to anyone who's been paying attention. They had already been proclaimed by the prophets for all to hear. There's a note of surprise, if you notice in the question. Have you not heard? Everyone has heard. How many prophets did God send before he sent the Assyrians? How many times were the people warned? This is no new or sudden thing. This was present in the eternal counsels of God. This was planned in eternity past. And now it's fulfilled in time by the hand of God. All that Sennacherib was doing was simply carrying out the eternal purpose of God. In other words, the work of devastation that Sennacherib was carrying out was just another part of God's eternal plan. God was merely being faithful to his own word. Before the children of Israel ever entered the promised land, Moses prophesied to them. Moses said, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees that I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you. And he listed a number of curses. But among those curses were these: the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your fathers. You will become a thing of horror and an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations where the Lord will drive you. This had happened to the northern kingdom. You know, notice the words that Moses said. You and the king you set over you, they rebelled against God's anointed ones, the line from David, and set up their own king. And now the Assyrians had come and destroyed that kingdom and that king and taken those people to a land that they had never heard of when Moses made that prophecy. The land of Assyria and far off places they were exiled to. They had not obeyed the Lord. Now the Lord in his divine decree had brought Assyria. The northern kingdom was destroyed, scattered among the nations. The southern kingdom was in shambles, except for Jerusalem. But all this was at God's hand. And Sennacherib was just the tool that the Lord used. And I believe this should give us pause. Why do we think that we would fare better than Israel? God had driven the Canaanites out of the land so Israel could possess it in fulfillment of the covenant promises and bring about redemption. But Israel came into the land, and what did they do? They adopted the ways of the Canaanites. They refused to repent. And now they had to be removed from the land. Sennacherib was just the broom that God used to sweep away the corruption of the land. The question today is who or what will he use to cleanse this land that he has favored so abundantly? And God not only knows and executes his plans, he knows the plans of Sennacherib. He knows the plans of each one of you. He knows where you are at any moment. He tells Sennacherib, and by extension, he tells every one of you, he is acquainted with all you do. When you go and come, where you go, and when, excuse me, he not only knows all you do, he knows everything you might have done. He knows every possibility that you contemplated. He knows your secret thoughts. He knows when you rage against him and when you contend with him. Therefore, Sennacherib, he says, because you rage against me, because you rage against Almighty God, because of your arrogance toward me, you're done here. You're going back where you belong. On the verge of total victory, there's one city left to conquer, the city of Jerusalem. You're on the verge of complete destruction of Israel and Judah, but you're going to be defeated. You're going to be forced to retreat. Luther said, in our world, we sang earlier, in our world with devils filled, it has to be a great comfort to God's people that he knows all that the wicked men are doing. He knows all that they're planning to do, and he has set limits on what they will do and when they will do it and for how long. That has to be a comfort to the people of God to know that, in spite of the ways we see this world, and you get as frustrated as I do sometimes about what's going on. All that is in God's hand. It's more than that, it's in his plan. And it is all working out exactly the way he said, and they can go only so far. Well, bracketed here in our text by the Lord's rebuke of Sennacherib is a sign for King Hezekiah. In the midst of the pronouncements of humiliation of the Assyrians is a message of comfort for Hezekiah. The Lord, first, he just states what will be. He said, this year you will only have what springs up from the fields. My mother used to call these volunteers. You know, in your garden, there's always a couple of little tomato plants that come up from some of the tomatoes that fell to the ground and rotted, and you know, some dill comes up over here. He said, that's all you're going to have this year. The Assyrians have devastated the land. And we don't know exactly what time of year it is. It may be too late to plant. And he says, next year, it'll be the same. You only have what grows from this year's volunteers, so to speak. I think that shows us the devastation, total devastation of the land. We've read that description earlier in some of these past weeks. These people were like locusts. They came through the land. They just took and destroyed everything. But he says, in the third year, sow and reap like normal. It's a sign that the Assyrians aren't coming back. And notice, he says, even plant vineyards. That's a long-term process. You plant them, you don't get grapes this year to speak of. He said, you know, the land's going to be restored. There's going to be a time of peace for a while. The effects of the Assyrian invasion will have disappeared. So this is a promise to Hezekiah and the people. And the Lord will accomplish this. Indeed, the effects of the invasion, the Assyrian invasion, were great. As we mentioned, the northern kingdom was gone. It was no more. The southern kingdom, all the fortified cities had been destroyed. As he said, it turned them in their great walls and their fortifications into piles of rubble, all except Jerusalem. But he says, out of Jerusalem, from Mount Zion, will come a remnant, a band of survivors that will fill the land. The Lord's preservation of a faithful remnant is a theme that runs throughout Scripture. We can go back to childless Abraham, and God said, from you will come this generations and generations of people, numerous as the stars in the sky. He had no children. God is faithful in that. What about young King Joash? Wicked Queen Athaliah killed all the royal family, all the descendants of David, except one little baby. God preserved him. He preserved these people in Jerusalem from the Assyrian invasion. He even brought back the survivors from the Babylonian invasion back to the land. God was faithful to his promises, because it was through these very ones that the Redeemer, the Messiah, was to come. And God faithfully preserved the remnant. He delivered them from overwhelming forces against all odds. And this is just a picture for us, a picture of the greater deliverance against even more powerful foes that Messiah was to effect. Foes far more powerful than Assyria or Babylon. Foes like sin and death and hell that Messiah himself is going to defeat for his people. Therefore, in view of all the insults that you've heaped upon me, Sennacherib, the Lord says, and in answer to the prayer of Hezekiah, the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do. This is the conclusion of the matter, a conclusion that concerns the king of Assyria and the people of Jerusalem. Sennacherib will not enter this city. None of his men will even shoot an arrow over the walls of this city, much less build a ramp up to try to attack and destroy the walls of the city. He's going to go back home. He will not lay a finger on Jerusalem, because God himself will defend the city and his people. The Lord will defend the city for his own sake. That is, so all the world would see that he was true to his promises. So all the world would see that he was almighty and able to deliver his people from the hands of any oppressor, irrespective of the odds against them. And he also says, notice, for David's sake. Not that David was alive, but for the sake of the promises, the covenant that God made with David, wherein God swore to establish his throne forever. Hezekiah is a son of David. one through whom Messiah would come. If Hezekiah is killed, if Jerusalem is destroyed, what would become of the promise? God intervened and delivered Jerusalem. He saved Hezekiah and showed his faithfulness once again to his covenant promises. How did the Lord deliver Jerusalem? Isaiah sets it out very straightforwardly. This is straight out prose. This is not poetic. These are historical words. The angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 soldiers in the Assyrian camp. The U.S. Marine Corps today has about 220,000 men in it total. He went out and put to death 185,000. The angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, went forth and struck down the pride of the Assyrian army in the same exact way that he went through the land of Egypt and put to death all the firstborn of the Egyptians to deliver his people on that night. So he destroys much of the army of Assyria, and by the morning, surrounded by enough bodies to fill Bryant-Denny Stadium twice, Sennacherib breaks camp and goes back home. There's no need continuing this fight against this kind of power. I don't know what he thought. I know it didn't change anything. He went back just as the Lord said, because some years later, he goes to the pagan temple of Nisroch, his idolatrous god, and while he is bowing before his idol, his own sons come and cut him down with a sword, according to the prophet of God, the word of God that the prophet had spoken. So that's the end of Sennacherib. You know, many people who call themselves theologians, commentators, pastors, and so forth, many ridicule the idea that an angel, much less the Lord Jesus himself, went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. You can read all kind of fanciful explanations of this, not a single one of which are even hinted at in the scripture. Some of them even denying that it actually happened. Let me say this. When they attack God's word in this manner, they're trifling with him no differently than Sennacherib. What does Sennacherib say? He told Hezekiah that God was deceiving him, that he would not deliver Jerusalem. When you come to the word of God and say, well, God didn't, that didn't really happen. No such thing as that ever transpired. You're saying that God is deceiving his people. That's the same thing Sennacherib said. Beloved, let me tell you, believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ went forth to strike down the enemies of his chosen ones. And believe this, he's coming again. He's going to come forth again. Pastor Haley read you earlier a metaphorical picture of the Lord coming forth in judgment and proceeding from his mouth a sword, proceeding from his mouth a word with which to strike down the nations. All he has to do is say the word, and he will come. He's coming to save his chosen ones, and that is a coming reality. But hearing that reality, are you one like Sennacherib that doesn't know enough to tremble? Who doesn't even know enough to be afraid each day as you deny God, as you insult and revile him, as you turn your back on his gracious offer of salvation? You need to think about that. that kind of ignorance, and that kind of arrogance can only lead to destruction. If Sennacherib were here today, he would tell you the same thing. You need to repent now. Now. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are all-powerful, almighty. Lord, everything in this universe is in your hand, under your control, and operates according to your divine decree. And Lord, as your people, we take great comfort in that. Lord, this world is filled with devils and it is filled with evil, but we have to rest assured that these things are just as you said, working together for your glory and for our good, for the good of your people, for the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. Lord, we thank you that we have that assurance. Lord, we do pray for those who do not know, who do not understand, who do not even know that they're in danger every second of leaving this world, facing the judgment. Lord, work in their hearts, we pray. Convict them. Lord, we know so many. We pray that you would change their hearts, give them new hearts that they might believe and be saved. Call them to yourself, we pray, for your glory and honor. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.